All right, last week we began a sermon called Living on Purpose. And we're talking about the idea that if something's important to us, if something is important to us, whether it's a spiritual or some other type of goal that we have, if something's important to us, in order to kind of go after that, we need to be intentional. It's not just going to happen. There are no shortcuts to reaching something that is important to us. And so as a follower of Christ, we identified that becoming a better disciple of Christ should be something that we are looking forward to doing and working on in our life here before we leave this place and go to heaven. So we should want to be a better disciple of Christ. But we also talked about the fact it's not going to happen just on purpose or not by accident. Sorry. It's going to need some intentionality if we're going to do this. We're going to have to live on purpose as it relates to becoming a better disciple. We need to be deliberate with this. And we said we're going to introduce four ways that you and I should be living on purpose as it relates to being intentional followers of Christ. So last week, we began with the call to pursue on purpose. And more specifically, just to remind you, we need to pursue spiritual maturity on purpose, and we need to grow our faith. Our faith is not going to grow on its own. We need to grow our faith and pursue spiritual maturity on purpose. And we identified four steps. If you're here, maybe you remember one or all four, maybe two, that'd be great. We said we need to pursue the Bible on purpose, pursue prayer on purpose, pursue church on purpose. And I'm just going to pause here. We talked about the importance of coming to church. So if you weren't here last week, you probably should go online and listen to it. So pursue the Bible, pursue prayer, pursue church on purpose, and pursue life change on purpose. And each one of these things that we pursue as it relates to spiritual maturity involve quantity and quality, quantity and quality. And each of them have maturity benefits that are tied to them if we do them. So this morning, I want to introduce you to the second way we need to be intentional in our journey of faith. Here it is. We need to connect on purpose. Connect on purpose. More specifically, connect with other believers on purpose. And in this way, different from growing your faith, we need to support our faith. We need to support our faith. We need other people in our lives. So connect on purpose with other believers and support your faith. And I want to take you through a series of things that are going to describe what I mean by connect on purpose. And hopefully we'll reach an end goal here that will be beneficial to you. But I think it's important, and when you're talking about living intentionally, often when we have a goal in mind or when we're looking to reach something, whether it's, again, a physical goal or a health goal or a spiritual goal, it is totally appropriate to ask questions. Because if you think, all right, there's going to be some work involved to get to this end point, it is totally legitimate at the beginning to say, why? Why am I going to do this? Why am I going to put myself through this? Why am I going to go through all this hard work? Why am I going to do this? So it's legitimate and very appropriate to start with this question, why connect? Why connect? And I'm just going to give you one simple statement. There could be many, but I'm going to give you one. Here's why we should connect. The Christian life was never intended to be lived in isolation. Never intended to be lived in isolation or lived alone. The Christian life was never intended to be lived in isolation. I want to take you to three passages in your Bible, and then as we go to some other passages later on, I'm just going to read them for you. But I'd like you to turn to three with me. The first one is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And if you'd like to use our Pew Bible, it's 463, pretty simple process. You find that page number, you're there. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And Ecclesiastes is a long-named book, and it's in the Old Testament. And if you're kind of not familiar with it too much, that's okay. If you find the book of Psalms, you're close. You're not quite there, but you're close. And you can work your way there. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the Christian life was never intended to be lived in isolation. So why should we connect? Starting with verse number 9, Ecclesiastes was written by who is considered to be the wisest man in the Bible, Solomon. And here's what he says. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Here's what he's saying here. He's saying when you have other people in your life and you have success or you even gain wealth or you gain things, there is a benefit in partnering with other people, being able to share with other people blessings that you have. That's a good thing. And because we all understand that if we take all that we have received, all our blessings, and we only heap them on ourselves, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to probably not be great people that way. if we become selfish. So that's the benefit of connecting. He goes on to say, if either one of them or either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about provision or providing for each other, being there for each other. If someone falls down, he's using the actual example, physically falling down, but they have somebody with them, they can help them up. Or if someone has another need, like they're cold, and someone can and meet that need for them, that provision is there because they have other people in their life. And then he ends with, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. He's talking about protection here. There's protection with that. Maybe you remember a time when you were in high school or maybe in college or maybe a family situation where you're out on vacation or on a trip. And I've done this with kids, whether it's a youth group setting or some other setting. We've been in another city and we're doing some sightseeing. And we tell them to travel in what? Groups, not by themselves. They don't, hey, you 14-year-old girl on this trip in a city you've never been to before. You just go ahead. Just go. Go all by yourself. Just go. Just go. If the parents heard about that, I would be fired. Some of the parents are like, yeah. But we'd say, listen, if you're going to go, you got to travel in groups. You got to have some people with you that are going to be able to help you out if you have any problems. Right? And in life, it's intended to be that way. So the Christian life was never intended to be lived in isolation. Now, I realize Ecclesiastes is an Old Testament verse, but the New Testament provides two powerful examples of why we should connect. Two powerful examples. And I want to take you to the first one by having you go to this passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, again, if you would turn there, 790, Romans chapter 12. Here's the first example. The first powerful example is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. You want to fill that blank in. So Romans chapter 12, starting with verse number 3. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. I want to stop here for just a moment. It's interesting what he's saying here. He's talking about the context. He's talking to a group of Christians, and he's talking about different gifts that people had. And he's saying, not everybody's going to have the same gift. And some of you are going to have a gift that somebody else doesn't have. And some of you may think that your gift is better. And what you're going to do is you're going to go practice your gift in isolation almost to the detriment of other people. You're going to think more highly of yourself than other people. And when that happens, what we tend not to connect. Because we think we got it. I got it. I got the gift. You guys are just the rest of the people. And I'm good to go. And I don't need you. And he's saying, listen, be careful. Don't think too highly of yourself. Connecting is a good thing. And when we think we are perhaps better than someone else spiritually, we send the wrong message. And then he goes on to say, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member, what? Belongs to all the others. So do you matter to each other? Yes, whether you like it or not, whether you said it or not, you do. And that was one of the reasons why we should connect, because we're part of the body of Christ. And I'm thankful that we're not all the same. I didn't mean it to sound that way. But we're different. We have different gifts, different personalities, different things that we bring even to the spiritual table, yes? It's okay to be different. I'm glad we're not all the same. But we need each other, the body of Christ. We're not meant to live in isolation. That's a powerful example. And I shouldn't say to you, yeah, we don't really need you. And you shouldn't say to us, they don't need me. Yes, we do. And you connect. And there's a second powerful example. It's the one another's of the New Testament. The one another's of the New Testament is a powerful example about why we need to connect. There are dozens of one another's in the New Testament. Pray for one another. Love one another. Teach one another. Encourage one another. Let me give you an example. Ephesians chapter 4. I'd like you to turn there with me. Our third passage that I'd like you to turn to. Ephesians chapter 4. It's page 816, Ephesians chapter 4, the one another's of the New Testament. I chose this one because it has three built right into it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. Be kind to each other. Be compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Pretty powerful? Now, can I be a little bit facetious here this morning? I'll try not to be too much so. But I'm trying to convince you that it's important to connect. The one another's is a great example of this, because without one another, you can't do the one another's. And I'm here to tell you, it's not always easy being kind to people, but a whole lot easier if you don't have to. If you're like, I don't need one another's, right? If I just don't have to be nice to people, I'm good. How about compassionate? I don't have to. How about forgiving each other? No, you understand, if we eliminate connecting, we have no outlet for the one another's. And you say, well, I practice all of them on my spouse. Well, you need to mix it up a little bit and find someone else to practice some of that stuff on as well. But if we purposely or try our best to isolate ourselves as Christians, we deny ourselves the ability and the blessing of one another's with each other. So it is absolutely unbiblical, folks, to not connect with each other. Because I don't think it's going to be really very comfortable if we're standing before God and he asks us this question. How'd you do with the one another's? I thought that was optional. Were you kind to each other? God, I wasn't unkind. I just didn't do anything. Did you encourage one another? Well, I didn't really spend time with other Christians. It's not going to fly. So we need each other. We need to connect with each other. And that's really, really important. So I believe the answer to why connect is that why connect is a biblical concept. And becoming a better disciple of Christ means we need to be intentional with connecting. Now, I want to take you to the next thing here. We're going to keep moving here quickly. Next thing here is I believe there are levels of connecting. And I think you need to move from one level to the next. I think there's a high level that you need to be at. So let's start. Here's the first level. First level is this, superficial. Superficial level of connecting. Yeah, it's just, here we go. Hi, Esther. Good morning. See you later. Okay, there we go. Superficial. Don't know anything about Esther. She smiled at me. Okay. Greeting time is superficial connecting. Do we still do the greeting time? Yes, because some of you need to ease into this process. You're like, oh, people. Okay. So, but superficial. I get it. You need to start someplace, because some of you are a few of you scare me, because a few of you start with the third level to strangers and that freaks them right out. You're like, you want to hug them and bring them home, like right at the beginning. That freaks them out, okay? So you have to start with superficial. But spiritually speaking, if you want to connect with other people, you can't stay at superficial. Second one is social. Social would be maybe you attend an event with some other Christians, or you're involved in some kind of ministry, or have some people over to your house. So there's a little bit more interaction than greeting time. So you know them a little bit more social level. That's okay. That's good. And I will tell you this, as you move from level one to level three, the number of people that you can fulfill that with goes down. I'm not going to do this, but I could quickly, superficially high five a bunch of you, but I'm not having you all over for dinner. Not that I don't like you. You know what I'm saying? The numbers go down. So you have superficial connecting, you have social connecting, and then you have spiritual connecting. This is where you have identified somebody or some people in your life that you not only say hi to them, you not only maybe have them over for dinner, but you have spiritual conversations, you have spiritual input in their life, you have spiritual encouragement in their life, and if you have a spiritual issue or you're looking to become a better disciple, you go to them. We need those kind of people in our life. It's almost impossible for any one Christian to have like 30 of those kind of people. Sometimes it's just one or two or three, but we need to have some of those in our lives. I mean, think about it this way. We have got some young people in the room and maybe even adults. Video games are still pretty popular. They've changed their names and different things and different ways that you use them, sometimes on a phone or whatever, right? But I still hear about levels. What level are you on? Have you conquered this level? And people are trying to go from one. And if you say you're on like the lowest level, they kind of laugh at you. Like, what are you doing? Well, I'm not spending 12 hours a day. That's why I'm on level one. But they've moved their way. And so I get it. And so they're trying to conquer the next level, right? And get there and get some experience. And listen, all I'm saying to you is, if you need to start with level one, that's great. But eventually, we need to have some level three people in our lives. Level three people. And the question you need to ask yourself, honestly ask yourself, is do I have any level three people in my life? Do I have any? And that's something we need to think about. All right, so we're going to stop here for just a moment. I'm going to get you involved. I know you're so excited. So it's biblical to connect. There are different levels. I want you to have the opportunity to practice some connecting. So gentlemen, you'll go ahead. They're gonna pass out some buckets, just like offering plates. Instead of putting something in, you're going to take something out. Let's go, guys. Here we go. You're going to take out a Lego and just hold on to it for me, all right? I also have five people that are going to help me. Come on up on the stage, just like the offering. Here we go. You take a Lego, hold on to it. Please do not swallow it or give it to somebody else. Just hold on to it. Grab a Lego. Are you good? For some of you that are very picky, I'm sorry about the color. If you don't like it, it's okay. You'll be all right. Grab a Lego. How are we doing? Maybe I need six buckets. We got to keep going here. All right. So as you're doing that, you can just listen to me. These folks up here have volunteered to help me with the process to kind of give you a visual. And so when you start connecting, they're gonna kind of do it as well, just so you don't feel like, okay, I'm the only one connecting. They're going to start to try to do that as well. And what I'm going to ask you to do, if you can, I would like you to go across the aisle and not just connect with the person next to you. If for some reason you're like, I'm a guest, I am not moving, I don't even like what you're talking about, you can just stay right where you are. Or if you're one of our church people and you're like, I'm at number one superficial, I'm not moving. That's fine too. Or, you know, physically, if it's just easier to stay where you are, I totally get it. You can do that, but you can start connecting. But you're all going to stand and at least do that, and we'll get started here. All right, so, but if you can move a little bit, that would be awesome. And we go from there. All right, start connecting. So how many of you actually were able to connect with somebody? All right, if you made a connection, some of you don't have a Lego anymore, and you don't need to get it back. If you connected and you have two, you're just going to put them in the buckets on the way out. You're not going to connect them now. Okay, so, but listen, on purpose, thank you for doing that. On purpose, I brought them up because they were supposed to be my helpers, and obviously they were not. They really illustrated for you, and in case you didn't catch it, I'm going to give it to you. They illustrated for you five ways or five obstacles that we often give to connecting. Because it's not just that it's biblical. It's not just the idea that we need to go to different levels. But I think there are some obstacles that we have to overcome. Here's the first one that they illustrated. You don't really like to connect with people. Let's be honest. You're like Mike. You're like, it's not in my personality. I just really don't like to connect with people. That can be an obstacle. A really serious obstacle. Obstacle number two that was illustrated. You make it hard for people to connect with you. You make it hard for people to connect with you. Thank you, Kevin, for standing up here going, this is a dumb idea. Just complaining. I don't need people telling me what to do. And if you're that kind of grumpy, you know, crusty person, not a lot of people want to connect with you. They're like, whoa, backing up with their Lego. I mean, maybe you approach somebody this morning like that. You don't have to look at them. Don't call them out. You're like, what? Here's a third obstacle. You are waiting for people to connect with you first. Well, it is the church. Jesus is love. Here I am. I will wait. I didn't think about this when I was putting this together, that some of you tender-hearted people like Esther and others would come up to Julie and go, I will connect with you. I'm like, I had to send them away. Get away! Get away! But some people are like, I will wait. I will wait. And some of you have been waiting a long time because you think other people have to go first. Here's another obstacle. You have not left any margin in your life for connecting. Thank you, Vince. I don't have time. Well, if it's biblical and necessary and needed, you should make time. That's why we call it living on purpose. Being intentional about going from superficial to social to spiritual. Just like you need to make time for prayer, and if you don't have time to pray, then you're investing in things you need to kind of trim back at. You need to invest in connecting. And then the last obstacle is you feel too broken to connect. And I get it. Sometimes Christians have some hurt, some pain, or they're just struggling with something. And what we typically do, this is what Satan wants us to do. When we're feeling broken and pain, Satan wants us to isolate ourselves. He wants you to stop coming to church, stop meeting with your Christian friends. He wants to isolate you, just like on the National Geographic Channel, where when the gazelles are together and the lions are hunting or the cheetahs are hunting, they want to separate the one from the crowd. Satan wants to do that. And I'm here to tell you, we don't allow any perfect people to connect. Because we don't have any. So don't use that as an obstacle. And just a couple observations about the obstacles here. It's not going to be on the screen. Just a couple observations. Number one, some of these obstacles, and I'm just encouraging you, I'm called to exhort you, don't be too mad at me. But one of the observations I want to make is some of these obstacles are heart issues that you're choosing to not obey God. And what we talked about last week, maybe we need some life change. If you're saying, I am not moving, someone's got to come to me, that might be a heart issue. So that's an observation that I would like to make. A second one is this. Whenever, it's been my experience that whenever God commands us to do something that is a little bit difficult or Satan really opposes, it's because there are awesome benefits. Satan does not oppose something that doesn't have benefits. So I think one of the reasons why we have obstacles in connecting is because there are great benefits from connecting. I'm so glad you asked. Let me give you a few. Number one. Connecting benefits. Connecting enhances your prayer support team. I love this dynamic. It could be in a small group. It could be one-on-one. It could be texting. It could be emailing. I have people in my life. I probably should have more, but I have some people in my life. You should have some people in your life that you're close enough that you're sending them prayer requests, and they're part of your prayer team. I don't just mean that you're sending something to the church and it gets sent out to everybody. I'm talking about people who really know what you're going through, or it's something that you don't feel like you could even give to somebody, you know, for the whole church. Do you have those people in your life? If you do, that is something to celebrate. It enhances your prayer support team. Number two, a second benefit. Connecting facilitates looking out for others and others looking out for you. The Bible puts it this way. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So one of the benefits is if I'm connecting with people, I'm looking out for them. Should it matter to me if one of my spiritual or even social friends, a follower of Christ, is kind of struggling a bit or has gone off to the side and maybe is doing some things or shouldn't? Should it matter to me if I'm looking out for them? Should I say something to them? If I know they're hurting, if I know they're depressed, if I know they've pulled away, should I say something? Yes, because I'm looking out for them. And I won't speak for you, but I'll speak for myself. Sometimes we need people looking out for us. And I don't mean just when we're hurting. Sometimes we get sideways, and we need people in our life who are saying, what's your problem? But they've built enough in your life that you listen to them. So we need people that we need to be able to look out for other people, and we're looking, have people looking out for us as well. I love what the Bible says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking out just for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. I need to connect because I need to look out for other people, and I need people looking out for me. Why do I think that Christians get in trouble in their walk with God? Why do I think sometimes Christians stray or even pastors? Because they've eliminated people in their life who are looking out for them. purposely. If they're less connected, they're more likely to fall. If you're less connected, you're most likely to struggle with your faith and walk away a little bit. So that's a benefit to have people on your team. And again, you don't want superficial people doing that, and I understand because you don't really know them. You might not even want social people doing that, but if you have spiritual people in your life, that level, you're okay with them speaking into your life. We get that. Here's another benefit. Connecting creates a resource of spiritual counselors. If you're looking for some spiritual advice, who do you turn to? Well, hopefully you turn to somebody who you've connected with, who you've had some spiritual conversations with, who's going to be honest with you and give you some helpful advice. They're not just going to tell you what you want to hear. How does that happen? You have to connect with people. Let's be honest. Sometimes you meet people in church and you connect with them and go, oh, not going to ever ask them for advice. I get it. But there are some people you should. So when you connect with other people, you create a resource of spiritual counselors. Bible says this, listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Another benefit of connecting. Connecting exposes us to others who have gone through or who are going through similar life situations. That's a benefit of connecting. You probably will never hear me say that what I've gone through is the same as yours, because it's not. But I have maybe gone through some similar things. And if you connect with me and you find out that, hey, Pastor Jay had a dad who was an alcoholic who drank himself to death. We have alcoholism in our family. I know that about him because I've connected with him a little bit. Maybe I can just talk to him about it. Or I know that Pastor Jay's parents divorced when he was in junior high. Man, I'd love to have this person talk to him because maybe they can connect. Absolutely. But you may never know any of those things if I choose not to open up and connect with you and you don't connect with other people. And again, it's not a superficial level. I'm not going into someplace like Walmart or Target and just standing there and telling people all about myself. That would be weird. Right? That's not what we're talking about. Or even in a social setting, you may not feel comfortable. But if you have a few people that you're at the level of a spiritual relationship, you feel like you can open up to them. And when you do, God will give you opportunities to minister to them. That's a benefit. And then one final connecting benefit is connecting encourages formal and informal mentoring. If you connect with somebody on a spiritual level, you're going to mentor them. You're going to help them grow in their faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, Paul says to Timothy, the things you have learned from me, say in the presence of many witnesses and entrust to reliable people who will be also qualified to teach others. Here's what he's saying. If you have come to the point that you're growing in your spiritual life, invest in other people. You know what that takes? Connecting. You can't entrust leadership and godliness and discipleship just in the greeting time. If I walk up to Alan Pritch and say, good morning, Alan, and that's all I say to Alan ever, that's not discipleship. It's superficial greeting. We're starting. But if that's as deep as I go with Alan, I'm not doing any mentoring. I'm not doing any discipleship. What does it take, folks? Connecting. Is it beneficial? Yes. I know I have had people in my life, especially when I was a young believer, early on in my Christian life, who did that for me. They connected with me, and that made a world of difference. And now you might be in a position, you still need it, but you might be in a position that you're going to do that with other people. And please don't be like, well, I am ready to disciple as long as they come to me. Here I am. Maybe you need to find somebody to connect with. It's really important. Finally, as we finish up here and move into the baptism, I want to just give you four opportunities. Here are four ways to connect. Because we talked about being biblical, it's necessary, it's needed, there'll be opposition to it, but there are, you know, things that really come as benefits from this. Here's some just basic connecting opportunities. I want to make this practical for you. Number one, connect through community groups. I know you hear us talk about that, some of you don't like that we talk about it over and over again. I'm just saying it's one of the ways you can connect, it's one of the best ways you can connect. All the people that you saw up on stage today and will be in the second service are people from my community group. I didn't pay them. They were not paid for their appearance. I hopefully didn't twist their arm, but I felt really comfortable asking them. You know why? Because we connect on almost a weekly basis. And actually, we talked about this last week, and they almost came up with the idea on their own. So I'm like, hey, remember when we talked about you with the Legos and how we should do that? They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, I got something for you. That's great. So community groups. You can still join one. There's still time to do that. You can just talk to Pastor Rex and get that process going. Secondly, connect through caring. Connect through caring. How's that work? Well, maybe you know some people at church, a few people. Maybe you notice they haven't been here or they missed a week. You do not need to, and you probably shouldn't, call me or Rex and say, so-and-so is missing. Why don't you need to do that? What you can do is, why don't you call them? Why don't you send them a text or an email? Say, hey, I missed you. Missed seeing your family. You know what you're doing? You're connecting through caring. Now, if it's a complete stranger, they might not know what's going on. But if it's somebody that you know, you can connect through caring. You can volunteer to pray for people or talk to people. Listen, caring is so important. You can do that. You can connect that way. And Pastor Rex and myself, there's too many of you for us to do this all on our own, and it's not supposed to be that way. But if you're just high-fiving people during the greeting, there's probably not a lot of caring going on. Well, I care for people. I said hi. That's how I cared, right? She knows I care. Maybe, maybe not. She's never going to talk to me again or sit there again. But you know why I could do that? Because she went on a missions trip with me. And she just knows how I'm like that. She's okay. All right? Here's another one. Connect through fellowship. And what I mean by fellowship, there is something to be said for connecting through having people over your house. Or if we have an event here at church, or we have a lunch, or Bible studies for life, there are ways you can have fellowship with people. Now, I know some of you are kind of old school, and you wish that we could have like something every night. If you had a dinner every night, I'd be here. Well, that's not going to work. But you can find ways, either church or outside of church, to do things where you connect through people through fellowship. It's absolutely okay to connect. I feel like some Sundays, what I should do is have like a taco bar or some kind of food set up in the parking lot. The reason why I say this is because some of you, like after we're done with Jesus' name, amen, you're gone. You're gone. You're connecting with your steering wheel right away. And I'm like, well, maybe if I just stop him in the parking lot and offer him like a taco or something, we can have a little connecting going on. Now just, you don't have to always just rush right out. It's okay. Finally, connect through serving. Maybe you're serving in a ministry with somebody or an outreach event. If you've been here any time over the summer, you've heard some of our missions reports from our missions teams. You sense that those people connected together when they went on the trips? You sense that? They will never forget the experience they had with those people. They'll never forget their names. They'll never forget what they learned about them because they served together. So that's really important. Let me end with this statement here, and then we're going to close in prayer, and we're going to move into the baptism. This is a statement from Charles Spurgeon about connecting with other people. He says this: some Christians try to go to heaven alone, in solitude. It's not that they don't think other Christians should be in heaven. They just, you know, on their way, they just want to spend a lot of time alone. So some Christians try to go to heaven alone in solitude. He goes on to say, but believers are not compared to bears or lions or any other animal that wanders alone. Those who belong to Christ are sheep in this respect, that they love to get together. Sheep go in flocks, and so should God's people. Connecting together. That's what we need to do. And I hope this is an encouragement for you to think about this process. I'm going to ask one of my community group members, Mike Barnes, would you mind closing us in prayer, Mike? You're going to yell at me later. I hope not. Okay, why don't you stand? Mike's going to close in prayer. They're going to fix the stage here. I'm going to get ready, and then we're going to move into our baptism.